to point out some of the interesting subjects that I discussed regarding Shibboleth HaKein and its practical applications. There are a number of subjects that Rav Naftali has written about, such as, should a person go out of his way to try to fulfill this mitzvah, or is it a mitzvah that a person fulfills if he happens to come across a mother bird that's sitting on eggs or on children? Is it something one should try to see to it that he is able to fulfill it? In other words, he should look for such birds. Another question is, let's say he does find such a bird that's sitting on top of babies or of children, of eggs, but he is not at all interested in eating the babies or saving the eggs. Now, this is the most common scenario nowadays. We don't really eat pigeon eggs, and we don't really eat the baby chicks. There's a major question among the halakhic authorities is whether it's a mitzvah to send away the mother bird and take the babies, even if one is not interested in saving the babies to eat them or to give them to his dog or for any use whatsoever. Perhaps simply in order to fulfill one more mitzvah, the 613 mitzvah, one should send away the mother and take the babies, thereby fulfilling the mitzvah, even though he is not interested in keeping the babies. Now, this is a major point of contention among as far as practical considerations are concerned. For example, in one hand, we have services that are well versed in the not only halachic practice of sending away the mother bird, but also the practical aspects of when the mother is sitting on the nest as opposed to the father, because the mitzvah is to send away the mother bird, not the father bird, and sometimes the father bird sits on the nest. And then as far as other considerations, is when is the best season, things like that. There are people that have plenty of practice as far as caged birds, right? Caged birds it doesn't apply to. It only applies to birds that happen to show up in the field. They know when to find the birds in the field, and it's a very common occurrence on porches here in Jerusalem. Almost everybody that at least lives in my neighborhood has had a bird's nest on his porch, unwanted and uninvited, at least in one place during his house's history. Well, in any case, the mitzvah will only apply to the birds on the porches if the person prepares himself by making certain that the birds remain hefker, meaning that they don't become his when they make their nest on his porch. In other words, he has to first announce when he sees the birds building the nest that he doesn't want his chater to acquire for him the nest that will be built there. Otherwise, it will be the same as a caged bird, and he'll have no mitzvah to send away the mother. He might even have to be master of the porch, in other words, to say that the porch under the birds isn't mine, so that it should not be able to acquire the bird's nest that's sitting upon it. In any case, the people that are experts in this field actually give paid tours in order to help people fulfill this mitzvah. The mitzvah is considered to be a segula, which means that it has Kabbalistic qualities that allow give a person the extra zchuyot, extra merits, so that he should be able to he should be worthy of having children. For instance, if it's a young couple without children, it says in the verse shalach at the aim that the banim tikat lach, send away the mother bird and then take the baby birds for yourself. Send away the mother bird, right? Kabbalistically, this can be interpreted to mean send away the mother bird and take the children, meaning take children for yourself. You'll have children if you fulfill this mitzvah. And young couples, I know of a number of them, young couples that didn't have children, went on a tour, a guided tour, in order to find a nest and to send away the mother bird. And afterwards, they did have children. Now, because of that, it has become a challenge for people to try to fulfill this mitzvah. On the other hand, I know that there are others that consider this to be an aveda, if anything, because why should we send away the mother bird if we're not interested in the babies? The point of the mitzvah is to have mercy on the mother bird so that you shouldn't see a baby taken away. That would seem to be the point. And therefore, if you send away the mother bird just in order to fulfill the mitzvah, then the people are not doing a mitzvah, perhaps, but are doing the opposite. Yeah, they're hurting the poor mother bird.
Okay. I'm going to take over where Rabbi Kornfeld left off. If there's any problems, maybe now it's a bit better. I'll adjust the mic. I'd like people to just send me comments. Rabbi Kornfeld was saying, with Lat HaMitzvah, about the merit that people do receive for the mitzvah. For example, you know, getting children. There are other benefits that one can receive for the mitzvah. Rashi, on the total of renown, the mitzvah that follows Shluch HaKan is Maka, building a barrier around one's roof. Rashi brings down that if one fulfills the mitzvah of Shluch HaKan, and if he didn't previously have a house, he will, you know, merit getting a brand new house. That's what Rashi Ala Torah brings down by the mitzvah of Maka. Obviously, another thing which the Torah itself brings down, without going to the Midrash, is, I'm afraid it might be the mic, it might be the connection, okay. Everyone hear me now? Can I get a comment? Okay, good now. Okay. An advantage, which is what the Torah says, is the person's traveling and he finds a bird's nest. Bechol eitz, either be it on a tree or ala aretz, efrochim o beitzim, ve'im rovetis ala efrochim ala beitzim, lo tzikacha eim ala bonim. It is prohibited to take the mother with the children. Rather, shaleach teshalach etza eim. First you must send away the mother. Only then, after you send away the mother, can you make an acquisition on the children. If a person does this mitzvah, there's a double blessing over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises the person, I will make things prosperous for you, I will make things good for you, and varach yamim, a person will have longevity. It's a double blessing. The Dibna Magid explains this double blessing. You know, what's l'man yitav lach varach yamim? It seems to be, you know, rather a double thing. So the Dibna Magid explains with a parable, as is his style. He says, if a person goes away on business, and he's securing very lucrative deals, time seems to fly by, as he's having a very good time and he's prospering in his finances. However, if someone, you know, goes away on business and things aren't going good, it feels like a million years. So too says the Dibna Magid. If a person will have longevity, just arichut yamim, without the yitavlach, without things going well, it's no big deal because he's not enjoying himself. Therefore, the Torah, in addition to giving someone longevity, the Torah says, l'man yitavlach varachta yamim. I will make things good for you, and you will lengthen your day while enjoying yourself. Now, what is the name of the mitzvah? There's some different pronunciations for the mitzvah. The Meloh HaRom in the back of the Gemara brings down that it's called Shiluach HaKain, with a tsere for Kain. Shiluach HaKain. The reason for it being that the correct translation for it would be Kain. The correct pronunciation would be Kain. However, it says in the Torah, Ki Karei Kan Sipo L'fanecha B'derech. Many other commentaries disagree with the Shla. Amongst them, Rav Chaim Kanievsky wrote in my Sefer, he wrote that if a person, you know, wants to call it Shiluach HaKan, it's also okay. As a matter of fact, that's Rav Chaim Kanievsky's preference, and that's what he calls the mitzvah. He calls the mitzvah Shiluach HaKan. He does not call the mitzvah Shiluach HaKan. Now, Rabbi Kornfeld started speaking about the actual mitzvah, going to the halachot of the mitzvah. I would like to discuss the reason why someone does the mitzvah. Rabbi Kornfeld said in his introduction, it sounds like a very, very interesting mitzvah. You go ahead, people go on guided tours to do this mitzvah. You go ahead.
Rabbi Natsali, I think you lost the mic.
Sorry for the technical difficulties. We're trying to coordinate this through several locations, and this is a first-time experiment for Rabbi Naftali.
Okay, Rabbi Naftali, let's see if you have the mic again.
Do you hear me now? Testing. Okay. I don't know what I left off, but I guess I'll continue from, I was talking about the timing, but exactly, I see right now, breaking up bad. I was talking about the Tamanami HaMitzvah. What have you... Got the cornflakes over and get better now? Testing, next. Testing, 1, 2, 3, got you, okay. I was discussing the Tamei HaMitzvah, the reason why we do the mitzvah. As Rabbi Kornfeld mentioned in the beginning, he started off with a rather very, very interesting mitzvah. People go on guided tours about it, chasing a mother bird off of the nest. I would appreciate if, as I go along, if people can keep me updated, typing in if they hear me, okay or not. The Zohar brings down the reason for the mitzvah. He brings it down in Tikkun Zohar, Tikkun Vav, as well as Zayar in Rus. And this is quoted by the Yisod of Shorosh HaVayda in Shah Hanj Kowel Perikhaf, as well as, you know, in other places, as an example, the Shach Torah, and, you know, and other places. The Zohar says a very interesting thing to the Mitzvah. He says that we all know that every creation, every creature has its own malach, its own angel, that intercedes on its behalf, that advocates it. Every single time, every year, and the Yid goes ahead, and Rabbi Kornfeld said it's very common in Eretz Yisrael through the Mitzvah, it's somewhat common in America, and I'm going to get to that later. Anytime someone goes ahead through the Mitzvah, and he tries, and he does the Mitzvah Shluch HaKan, the angel, the Malach of the birds, goes to HaKadosh Baruch, goes all the way up to the Kiddush HaKadosh, and asks HaKadosh Baruch, Hashem, you make such an interesting Mitzvah to chase a mother bird away from the nest, and that you're chasing the bird away from the nest, why do they do something like that? What's the reason for that? And HaKadosh Baruch will ask, you know, what's the big deal? They're just chasing a bird away from the nest. And the Mitzvah says, what's the big deal? It's terrible. You know, you're chasing a mother away from the nest. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks the Malachim, he gathers all the Malachim in Shemayim, is what the Zohar says. He gathers all the Malachim together, and he says, everyone is so worried about the, you know, mother bird getting chased away from the nest. And why isn't everyone worried about me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that I was sitting on top of the Beis HaMikdash, and they did a Shluch HaKan on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They did Shalech HaShalach HaTefaim. They chased HaKadosh Baruch Hu away from the Beis HaMikdash. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And they took Klal Yisrael, and they dispersed them amongst all the other nations. So any single time that someone does, you know, the mitzvah of Shluch HaKan, it reminds HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he himself was sent away from the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Desire says that every single time when someone does a mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ayurah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees, good and pleasurable decrees on the Klal Yisrael, and he promises that he's going to hasten the redemption. So that's why the Medrash Rabbah on Parsha Shluch HaKan brings down the following. Omer Tanchuma, in Kiyamta Mitzvah Shluch HaKan, Ani Memaris Elio HaNavi Zal Sheyove. I will promise that I will bring Elio HaNavi much quicker. So that's the reason that the Zohar brings, that every single time a person does the mitzvah, it reminds HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was sent away from the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gra, in two places, expounds on the Zohar. The Gra writes, firstly, in Mishlei, Perek Lam, Parasik Yitzayin, also in Chidushim, the Masechtas Baruchas, Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, the Zohar writes that there is no mitzvah in the Torah which has as much cruelty as does the mitzvah of Shluch HaKan. There is no mitzvah that has as much cruelty. Yet, the Torah promises Arichut Yamim. The Torah promises longevity for the one who fulfills the mitzvah. The Gra points out that there is only one other mitzvah in the Torah where a person is promised longevity, and that's Kibbur Av V'Em. Honoring one's parents. That's the only mitzvah. So the Gra asks, why does the Torah, just by these two mitzvahs, give a promise to someone who fulfills it of longevity? But there are two opposite mitzvahs. So the Gra explains as follows. The Gra says that, as we pointed out from the Zohar earlier, the mitzvah with the biggest azariyot in the Torah, the mitzvah with the biggest cruelty in the Torah, is the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, the mitzvah of chasing the mother bird away from the nest. That is a mitzvah of azariyot. However, the mitzvah of Kibbur Av V'Em, honoring one's parents, that is a mitzvah of rachmanot. That's a mitzvah which naturally we see people are walking in the street and they see, let's say, a poor person, and they feel bad for them, they'll give them money. If someone is a parent in a bad situation, people will, you know, feel bad, you know, for the parent much more than they'll feel bad for a regular person, and they'll go and always run to help the parent out. And via the Torah promises, arichut yamim. However, in the case of, is everyone hearing me? Can someone speak in the comments? I just wanted to make sure, because I hear someone shopping. Do we hear me? Testing? Do we hear me? Can someone type in? Okay, fine. Excellent. Okay. So the point is that the Torah chose two symmetrically opposing mitzvahs to promise someone arichut yamim. One is the mitzvah of Kibbur Av V'Em, and one is the mitzvah of Shluch HaKan. The reason is, says the Vilna Gaon, that certain people, you know, as I mentioned, you know, they can do the rachmanos, they can do stuff that, you know, that some kind of mitzvah. They can't force themselves to do such a mitzvah with azarias. It's such a serious thing. Going ahead, and taking a mother bird away from the nest, it's cruelty chasing the mother away and picking up, you know, the eggs. Therefore, the Vilna Zayin says, that the Torah promises, by a mitzvah with Azari, is to tell a person that a person has to be very, very well-rounded. He should go ahead and put his own personal inclinations to the side and do what Hashem said. Hashem told him, go ahead and chase the mother bird. You've got to go ahead and chase away the mother birds. To add to this, the Vilna Zayin says that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Ata yadati ki yirei elikim ata. Now I know, you are truly God-fearing. So the Vilna Gaon asks, only after I hated does Hashem know Ata yadati ata. Now I know that you truly fear Hashem. What about before that? Okay, didn't Hashem know that Avraham Avinu passed the first of the 9 out of 10 in Sion? Wasn't that sufficient? So the Vilna Gaon said that Avraham Avinu has chesed la'avram. The meal of Avraham Avinu was to do chesed. Only when he appeared to do achzaris, which he understood, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do by that kedah, to actually slaughter his son, only then he's willing to sacrifice his personal inclinations, his personal leanings, and going ahead to follow Hashem's word, only then can HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, Ata yadati ki yirei elikim ata. So the Vilna Gaon says, same thing also by Shulchan Aruch. Even if a person finds it very, very difficult, and he finds that it works against him, he should still try to fulfill the mitzvah. That's the explanation that the Vilna Gaon gives. Now I'm going to stop focusing on halachos and mitzvahs. I see some questions popped up, and I will address some of those questions later on. In Daf Kuflan test on the days, which we'll be doing the B'zash on this coming up every week, the Gemara says, Yachol yachzor b'horm b'gavot b'chadei shirin sechan, Talmud loymer ki yikarei b'mu'ur lefanecha, which means that a person is not obligated to fulfill the mitzvah. It says, you would think that a person is obligated to go ahead and go and search after the mitzvah. Therefore, it says, "Ki yikarei tansipah," only if one chances upon a tansipah, only if one chances upon a bird nest. However, this is not considered amongst the mitzvahs, which is an obligation on a person to do. However, with that being said, and the Gemara clearly states that a person is not obligated to go ahead and to search after the mitzvah, we find in the Rishonim and Achronim the merit if one goes ahead and does fulfill the mitzvah. In the Sefer Archas Chaim from Rav Aaron Achmei Lunyo, who was one of the contemporaries of Rambam, he writes as follows, in Hilchus Shabbos, Hilchus Kiddush Sifchav, Lefikach, HaMechazad B'Harim B'Yarim, Yim Sekan Sipra, L'Kayim Shluch HaKan, If a person goes ahead and he searches for the mitzvah in order to fulfill the mitzvah, and if he goes and fulfills it, he is not considered a hedyot, he is not considered, you know, a person who is wasting his time, and he gets complete schar for fulfilling the mitzvah. Similarly, we find the truth of Hashem right in regards to this mitzvah. There was a sefer by the name of Leket Yosef, which was written by the Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshim, one of his disciples, who writes, I'm going to say first in Hebrew, you know, and then I'm going to translate in English. Ein chidush mei mitzvah shiloh hakanach, aber zechorni shem pam achas amuli balabayis echa demam perk, shiyesh lekam dekem shloi, vishol balabayis kabal adin shiloh hakan, v'amar kenu, v'holach ha-goyim zatsal al-akarim, v'loi matk ma'asham balabayis. The Trumas Hadeshim Talmud, his student told him, you know, in Marburg, which is a neighboring city in Germany, there is a nest. You can go ahead and fulfill Shulchan Khan. The Chumash Hadeshim went to the neighboring city, tried to fulfill the mitzvah, and unfortunately, you know, the nest wasn't there anymore, and he wasn't able to fulfill the mitzvah. So we see that even though it's not an obligation for one to fulfill the mitzvah, still it's very, very meritorious for one to fulfill the mitzvah. Also, it's brought down in the Achash Shulchan, V'af shem minadin ein chayiv ludef acharei, mikol motim b'chvadei dover gadol ha'lasig mitzvah zu. Even though it's not an obligation, as we stated earlier from the Gemara, to fulfill the mitzvah, it is definitely a very, very, very big thing to fulfill the mitzvah, and he gets complete time on the mitzvah. This is called the Birnuk Yosef on the Shulchan Aruch as well. I'm just going to quickly, before I get to the halachot of the mitzvah, I just want to give somewhat of an overview. The B'chayim Vital writes, in he quotes from the Arizal in Shah HaMitzvahs, V'afilu olofen she'enem chayiv ala adam, ela b'hizdan, in k'nei mitzvah shulach hakan, even the mitzvah, which is not an obligation, like shulach hakan, she'enem chayiv ala adam, that a person is not obligated to run afterwards, ela ki yikarei kan sipa shuderach mitzvah, ukiyotzi goyim, only if one, you know, no chances upon an imkutum. A person should go ahead and run after the mitzvah. He calls Mashalo Hishlam, Hatayag mitzvah, Shahim Nekad Ramache Varma Gidin Ashmasai. All the time that a person does not fulfill the Tariag mitzvah, which is corresponded in the limbs of his body, Kinin Ashmasi Chaserminev, Varmaniko Baumum, Valov Nemako Ashabomum Lo Yigash. And he said something very interesting at the end. She'ein lo tikkun ad she'yachzor b'gilgul v'yashlim kol ha'tariag mitzvahs. A person will have to return to this world as a gilgul unless he, you know, fulfills the mitzvah of shiluach hakan. A person really should try to make it his point to go ahead and, you know, fulfill the mitzvah of Shulcha Kulkatan. The basis of this could be, you know, in the Mishnah Chedua, which says as follows, the Omer of Adam, Asayim v'Avom v'Shmona Mitzvah Yesh, B'Torah, Kiminia Varv Shav Adam, Chavoyim, Sayakim ala Adam, Asay Oistanu Shetichi B'Tchusein V'Tachyar, the Omer of Adam said, there are 248 limbs in a person's body, which, you know, which corresponds to 248 positive commandments in the Torah. Every single day, a Baal will go ahead and announce it to the person, please go ahead and, you know, fulfill all the mitzvahs. So although, as I stressed earlier, it is definitely, you know, not an obligation for one to go ahead and, you know, fulfill the mitzvah, it is definitely very, very meritorious if one goes ahead and tries to fulfill the mitzvah. Later on, I will try to address how one can either find this or perhaps build a birdhouse, which is also okay for one to, in order to fulfill the mitzvah. I just want to, you know, touch upon something that Rabbi Kornfeld started when we were having, you know, the mic problem. He started speaking about the Chavetz Yar Shita. There's a Shita of the Chavetz Yar, which he writes in his response, so in response to number 67. He's asked the following question by someone. What is the halacha if one actually is walking by and he sees a bird's nest? Is he obligated to see it? Now, as I said earlier, the Gemara says that definitely one is not obligated to search after the mitzvah. He doesn't have to go looking in the forest or looking in places with bird's nests in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But what happens if someone, by chance, is walking down the street and he sees a nest? Is he obligated to go ahead and do the mitzvah? The Chavetz Yar, you know, brings, you know, different, you know, opinions back and forth. And finally, the Chavetz Yar concludes that it is definitely an obligation to fulfill the mitzvah. Even though, the Gemara says that one isn't obligated to look for it, if one chances upon the mitzvah, he definitely is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah. One of the reasons why the Chavetz Yar says that there is an obligation to fulfill the mitzvah is, as we mentioned earlier, the Shita of the Zohar. The Zohar says that by doing the mitzvah of Shulach HaKan, it really hastens the redemption. Therefore, since it hastens the redemption, the Chavetz Yar says a person is obligated to do an action that will help bring Mashiach. Therefore, a person is obligated, according to Allah, to fulfill the mitzvah. It's interesting that the Mishnah Chachamim, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, you know, on the side of Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Chachamim is quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva, which is on the bottom of Shulchan Aruch. He says in the name of the Mishnah Chachamim that if one actually sees a nest and doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, he can get punished for it. Not, you know, an extra punishment, but while he gets punished, while he's getting punished for something else, he is liable to get a punishment because he didn't care enough to do an action that can help bring Mashiach. Yeah. This is only going to the Chavetz Yar. And there are other Pesachim who say this, but there are many who disagree with this Chavetz Yar. I'm first going to say the sheep of the Pesachim will hold like the Chavetz Yar. The Birke Yoser, Shulchan Aruch, the Eridei, a Simon Reish Tzadik Beis, brings down the Chavetz Yar and says, definitely, if halacha is like the Chavetz Yar, a person is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah, especially, you know, after what the Zohar says, that it helps bring Mashiach, a person is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah. This is quoted in the Aruch HaShulchan as well, in Yeridei, Simon Reish Tzadik Beis, Sif Beis, he says clearly, one sees a nest, he's mechayiv according to halacha, to go ahead and to fulfill the mitzvah. I just want to end off with the Maharami practice to those who obligate. The Maharami practice says as follows: Mepneishik siv ki kare kan tiper shemata isay v'loy haya mizamalei. He found it and it wasn't mizam to him. The tiper isay l'shalachem. Kadosh Baruch Hu obligates one to send away the mother. He imperates it. V'zel kamei kriyas chayv. This is as if one repays a loan. Gam kein shehikrei Hashem yizbarach l'fanecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu puts a nest in front of you. L'kach Mutal alecha, it is an obligation upon you. L'kayim hamitzvah sheyesh b'zeh, it is an obligation for one to go ahead and, you know, and do the mitzvah. Yes, Saruf, I see your questions, and I hope to get to some of them. And, you know, if I don't get to them, you know, in my thing, I'll take your questions at the end. However, there are many Paiskim who argue on the Chavetz Yar. Amongst them is the Chazan Ish in Yeridei Simin Kuf Ayin Hey, who quotes a Ran. And the Ran clearly states, not like the Chavetz Yar. The Ran says as follows, Shiluach mi have mitzvah mutalis alav, is sending away the mother an obligation? If someone doesn't want to take the children, he's potter milashalech. Now, sometimes what the Ran says, and how the Achrayim who explain the Ran, you know, how they explain the Ran. The Ran states it as follows. Definitely, Shluach HaKana, as you mentioned earlier, it's not an obligation on a person to do. Even if a person sees the nest, it is still not an obligation on a person to do the mitzvah. The only time that a person is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah is if someone sees a nest and he would like to acquire the eggs with the chicks that are in the nest. Only then is Shluach HaKana an obligation on one to fulfill the mitzvah. One desires the eggs or the chicks just so he fulfills the mitzvah, this is also sufficient. This is also good, but as long as he desires the eggs for a purpose. However, if one is traveling and has absolutely no interest, you could go ahead and acquire the eggs or the chicks, Shluach HaKan is not an obligation, and that person is not obligated to fulfill the mitzvah. This is what the Ran says. This is quoted la'halacha by the Chazam Ish in Yerideyas and Kuf Amayin Hay. It is quoted la'halacha by the Chazam Sofer, and then it says, and they bring a very strong proof to Chassam Sofer and the Mitziv, and it's very important to clarify what they're bringing out. They state, according to the Chavos Yair, who says that any time a person sees a nest, he is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah. It would come out that if someone's traveling on business somewhere, he's going to a plane, he's going to catch a plane. All of a sudden, he sees a bird's nest. He didn't bring his ladder with him. He didn't bring his stick with him. How is he to go ahead and do the mitzvah? It's going to take him about an hour. He may miss his plane. According to the Chavos Yair, a person is obligated to go ahead, get a stick, shake him up away from the nest, and go and do the mitzvah, because this helps bring his Mashiach. Therefore, the Chassam Sofer and the Tzitzit say that Allah is definitely not like the Chavos Yair. One is not obligated to go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah, because it can lead to chisar and kiss. It can lead to a great loss of money. And the proof that they bring also is the Mishnah here in Perik Shluch Kan Chulin in this week's Daf Yomi states as follows. Mashluch Kan Mitzvah Kan Shluch Kan Shluch Kan is a very light mitzvah. It's a very easy mitzvah which does not cost people any money. So according to the Chavos Yair, the Rachmanim point out, it is going to cost the person a lot of money. He's always going to have to go ahead and stop what he's doing, go get a ladder, go get a stick, chase away the mother. It can take some time. But the Mishnah clearly states that it has absolutely no chisaron, it has no loss for the person who does the mitzvah. Therefore, they strongly disagree with the Chavos Yair, and they write only if one wants to go ahead and acquire the chicks, only then is Shluach HaKan an obligation for one to fulfill the mitzvah. Now, most contemporary poskim hold like this. Rav Chaim Kanievsky passes like this, Rav Shmuel Zalman Erbach passes like this, Rav Yashar passes like this, that it is definitely a meritorious thing to fulfill the mitzvah. And if one goes ahead and searches the mitzvah, it's definitely an okay thing. But if someone comes across the mitzvah, it is not an obligation, and he does not have to go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah. But again, it's very good. He will get all the schools, as Rabbi Kornfeld started speaking about the schools earlier, he'll get all the schools with the mitzvah, but he is not obligated, according to Halacha, to fulfill the mitzvah. I'm going to discuss now how does a person send away the mother. Yeah, paskas means rules halachically, and thank you for pointing that out, Rabbi Kornfeld. How does one go ahead and send away the mother? Now, let's just try to visualize this. Like, oh, God goes to a nest, he sees a nest in front of him, let's say it's a bit high. Usually, I've seen most nests are about 8 to 10 feet high. He sees a nest. How does he chase away the mother? Now, the Gemara in Chulin states as follows. How does one chase away the mother? Rav Yehuda Amar Ba'akfei. Rav Yehuda says that a person chases away the mother Ba'akfei with its wings. And then the Gemara continues and it relates a story how there was a person who cut the wings before he sent away the mother. And Rav Yehuda gave the person malchus. Rav Yehuda gave the person 39 lashes. Now, how do we understand the Mama Shalcha? How does one send away the mother? Now, Rashi offers two explanations. The first explanation that Rashi says, ba'akfei, that a person actually has to grab on to the mother and send away the mother. Now, Rashi contends with this, and Rashi says that it is not the pshat, that is not the true way to send away the mother, to actually grab on to the mother and send it away. Rather, the Gemara is just telling us ba'akfei, that when a person sends away the mother, the wings have to be intact when sending away the mother. And as the Gemara, states right afterwards, someone went ahead and clipped the wings before he sent away the mother, and Rabbi Yehuda gave the person malchus. Rabbi Yehuda, gave the person 39 lashes because he was mevatel the mitzvah. Most poskim like this, that you know, the only way to you can send away the mother with a stick or any other causative action that a person does to send away the mother, that's sufficient, and a person is not required to send away the mother, you know, with his hands. Amongst the Rosh and Paschim is like that, the Ben Yeruchim Paschim is like that, the Levush, the Gra, most Poskim Paschim like that. However, it's just important to mention, I really don't want to get into it, there are a minority of opinions who learn in the Rambam that the Rambam actually requires one to grab the mother with his hands and throw it off of the nest. There are people who ask like that. Amongst them, the Chassam Sofer says like that. However, the vast majority of Achronim do not ask him like that. Amongst them are the Rishonim that I mentioned earlier, and a whole list of Achronim. The Achronim who also disagree with that are the domestic Eliezer from Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi. And today's poskim, I'm just going to list a bunch of today's poskim who pass like that. Also, Rabbi Kanievsky, Rabbi Nissen Karelis, Rabbi Yehuda Shapiro, Rabbi Nahal Shabashan, Rabbi Marav. Rev Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss, Rev Shach did it a number of times when he did the mitzvah. When he did the mitzvah, they all did the mitzvah with a stick, and they weren't choshesh to the minority of opinions who require one to actually grab onto the mother. But I want to actually talk on about a practical sense. When one goes ahead and sees a bird's nest right in front of him, and he wants to chase the mother off of the nest, you know, he takes a stick in his hand. How does he do it? Now, Rav Chaim Kanievsky wrote to me a number of times describing how one should do it. And it's something that's very, very important for one to fulfill the mitzvah. The person should have in mind every action that he's going to do henceforth is to chase away the mother. The banging of the stick, suppose the mother flies away when it just sees the stick. It's looking and it sees a person approaching. It gets very nervous. It gets squirming. It's contemplating, should I fly off the nest? Should I not fly off the nest? And it sees the stick, you know, coming next to it. And it just you know, flies off of the nest by just seeing that it's the person bangs. If a person didn't have in mind that he wants to chase the mother away, also by showing the mother the stick, he will not have completed the mitzvah because his only intention was to chase it away with the actual bang. Therefore, anytime someone's going to go ahead, I hope that some of the people here in the shiurim will be able to fulfill the full mitzvah. Anytime any of you are ready to do mitzvah, you have a stick in hand, you should have in mind every action that I will be doing henceforth, the banging of the stick, even the sound that's going to come out of me banging with the stick, the actual bringing of the stick closer to the mother. I had times that I shone the flashlight at the mother, and the mother just flew away, you know, just from signing the flashlight. But I was yotzei the mitzvah then, because I had in mind every action that I'm going to do henceforth while approaching the last is, you know, to chase away of the mitzvah. So therefore, you know, you got to be careful to do that. Every time a person approaches, have in mind every action that will do is to chase away the mother. We should not go to the mitzvah. Now, there's an ornithological fact, which is very, very important that I must stress right over here. The mother and father actually rotate incubating on the nest. Most of the day, the mother sits on the nest. Throughout the whole night, the mother sits on the nest. But during certain intervals during the day, the mother has to go eat, and the mother has to go drink. The mother goes off of the nest, and the father takes care of the incubating. It's approximately about 3 or 4 hours during the day that the mother, you know, is off the nest and the father is there. Now the Torah says, send away the mother. The Torah doesn't say, send away the father. Therefore, the only time one can be sure that the mother is on the nest is during the evening hours. It's during the night. Because never during the night does the father incubate on the nest. So therefore, a person should always be sure, whenever fulfilling the mitzvah, he should do the mitzvah only during that night, when the mother is there. If he does it during the day, he doesn't know if he did the mitzvah, because it could be he just happened to have done it during those 3 or 4 hours that the father was on the nest. Therefore, a person has to always be sure, do the mitzvah at night, and you can be sure that you did the mitzvah. If one does it during the day, in all likelihood, he was able to do the mitzvah, because the majority of the day, the mother is on the nest. However, he should do it during the evening, then he can be sure that he actually, you know, did it during the proper time. So, again, season S, preferably during the night time. Have in mind every action that I'm doing now to take away. The mother, if you take a flashlight with him, shines it, gives a bang, and the mother flies away. How far away from the nest does the mother have to fly? And how far away does it have to go? The Torah says, Shalach the Shalach has saying. The Torah says, send the mother away. It doesn't say how far it has to go, but you know, is the first one who I found that deals with the question, and he explains as follows. He says, as long as the butterfly is off of the nest, as far that it's not hovering on the nest, which means even if it goes 2 or 3 inches off of the nest, as long as it's not hovering on top of the egg or on top of the chicks, then it is okay. And he has fulfilled the mitzvah. As long as he did shalech the shachar famous, further on we're going to see the Mishnah states, when is a person chayiv to send away the mother? So the Mishnah says only if the bird is sitting on top of the eggs or on top of the chicks. If it moves off of the eggs and the chicks, if it moves off, then he has to wait till it actually sits on the eggs and chicks in order to send it away. So too says the chavnish, in order for one to do the mitzvah, having sent it away, it's sufficient. As long as it moves 2 or 3 feet away from the nest, then he has fulfilled the mitzvah. Rabbi, I know it's coming close. I still have a bunch of things. I can take questions now. I can continue with all the things. How would you like me to proceed? I'm just going to continue. Another important thing that I'd like to discuss, which is, does one have to acquire the eggs and chicks? A person goes to a nest, he bangs on the nest, the mother flies away, and it exposes 2 eggs and 2 chicks. So what does, you know, does one have to go ahead and acquire the eggs and the chicks? The Chacham Tzvi is the first one who discusses this question. I wouldn't say the first one was in the response to who discusses this question. And he's of the opinion that a person does not have to go ahead and make an acquisition on the eggs or the chicks. All you have to do, according to the Chacham Tzvi, give a bang next to the nest, the mother flies away, the person did the mitzvah, he can go home. You can ask, what does it mean? It says, shalech t'shalach ha'tayim, send away the mother, and acquire the children. Does one have to actually acquire the children? Doesn't it say clearly in the Torah that one has to acquire the children? So the Chacham Tzvi says, absolutely not. The Torah is just saying the sequence of how a person has to do things. First, you go ahead and you take away the mother. Then if a person is interested, then it's habanam tikachlach. But it's coming to tell a person, don't do habanam tikachlach. Don't take the children. Don't take the eggs or the chicks from underneath the mother and then send away the mother, because that is the opposite of the way that things should be done. And he's liable to get a punishment in such a way because he has violated a prohibition by acquiring the children before sending away the mother. So Chacham Tzvi says a person is not required to pick up eggs or chicks, and I'm sure that many of the listeners out there are going to be happy with that. Just, you know, if one wants to go ahead and do the mitzvah, you just chase with the mother and you go back home. That's it. You did the mitzvah. If one, you know, wants to do the mitzvah again, he can chase away the mother again. The mother flies away. He did the mitzvah a second time, a third time. As the Gemara says, shalech shalach afilu meir palma. A person can do this even 100 times. It's a relatively simple mitzvah according to the Chacham Tzvi. There are many other Rishonim who also paskin like the Chacham Tzvi. Amongst them, Ibn Ezra, in his Sefer Yesod Moreh, Hasharachi says as follows, Arichas Yamam, the Mishlo Chakar, the Arichas Yamam, longevity that's promised for one who fulfills the mitzvah, Lo Ba'avur L'kicha Tabarim Ki Rishiros. It doesn't come because of acquiring the children, because it's only a Rishos. It isn't mandatory, it's optional for one to go ahead and pick up the eggs or chicks. This is quoted in the Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch clearly states that if it is his option, just send away the mother. If you want, go ahead and do ve'esabanam pikachloch. If you want, go ahead and pick up the eggs or chicks. But if you do not want to, you do not have to. Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch is going to say for Chorev, Mitzvah Shulcha Kan, Sif Aleph, Ais Tes, says the same thing. It's optional. If you want to go ahead and pick up the eggs or chicks, you can. If you don't want to pick up the eggs or chicks, you do not have to pick up the eggs or chicks. This is Rabbi Shlomo Yaakov Fisher, who just passed away last year, who was the Bezdin in Yerushalayim for the Eda Achredes. He told me also, he wrote, you know, a page in my book, and he wrote that it is person does not, it is not mandatory, it is optional. If you want to pick up the eggs, you can pick it up. If you don't want to pick up the eggs, you do not have to pick it up. Rabbi Shlomo Yaakov Fisher himself told me, when he himself did the mitzvah, he chased away the mother, but he did not pick up the eggs or the chicks. However, there are achronim who disagree, and I'm going to discuss achronim who disagree. Therefore, if one does have the opportunity to fulfill mitzvah, he definitely should make every attempt to pick up the eggs or the chicks. Firstly, the Aruch HaShulchan brings them out. in Sif's task, he brings down that a person should definitely try go ahead and pick up the eggs or the chicks. The reason that he brings down is because according to the Zohar, it's not sure that one has to acquire the eggs or the chicks. Therefore, a person should make every effort to pick up the eggs or the chick. Yes, I'm Batsh Fame. If there's not a kosher bird, does the mitzvah count? No, it does not. The Torah says keep perfect tzipor. The Gemara learns out that a tzipor is only if it's a kosher bird, and not if it's a special bird. Therefore, it only applies if it is a kosher bird. It does not apply if it's not a kosher bird. I should have stressed that in the beginning. And now I'm going to talk about other birds later on, birds in the United States. But I'm going to bring a point to you. Let me just finish off about if it's an obligation to pick up the eggs or the chicks before I get to your question about Shemim. Amongst the other poskim who passed like the Aruch HaShulchan, the Chazanish, it clearly states that one must make an acquisition on the eggs or the chicks. The Levush HaKisrod on the Chazanish HaShulchan Aruch also points out that if it's an obligation for one to go ahead and acquire the eggs and the chicks. And so Chaim Kanievsky told me that if someone goes ahead and sends away the mother and doesn't pick up the eggs or the chicks, since the Chazanish paskins that one is required to pick it up, he had not fulfilled the mitzvah. Therefore, if one goes ahead, chases away the mother, just pick up the egg, and you can put it back into the tzitzit. That's something that's important to stress also. Even though it says that a person is not required to eat the eggs, he's not required to eat the chicks, all he has to do is, again, take his stick, bang next to the mother flies away. He had in mind, of course, as I stressed earlier, that every one of his actions are to chase away the mother, the lifting of the stick, the banging of the stick, the flashlight. It flies away, the mother flies away, and he goes ahead, takes a ladder, or, you know, if he can reach to the nest, he can pick up, he doesn't have to pick up all the eggs and all the chicks. The Mishnah clearly states, "Minayin she'ein sham ela efroch achad obey sa'achat chayev v'shalayach." You definitely are chayiv, even if there's one, so he's not required to pick up all of them. He can pick up one of them. He should just make sure he picks it up three tefachim to make it proper kenyan, and he has fulfilled the mitzvah, you know, in such a fashion. Now, suppose it is difficult for a person to get to the exit, in a high place. As long as the person goes ahead and chases away the mother, he can definitely have a shliach, he can have a proxy, a messenger, go up the ladder for him, have in mind to pick up the exorcist for him, either come down and give it to him, or just pick it up by the next day. I'm picking up, you know, the eggs and chicks for you, I'm having a month for you, and then put it back into the nest, and it's okay. And as I stressed earlier, there is no need to eat the eggs or chicks. I always get the question, oh, do I have to eat the eggs? Do I have to eat the chicks? The answer is absolutely not. He does not have to eat them. He doesn't have to make scrambled eggs. But if someone just asked me the other day, you just go ahead and pick them up, three fucking, put them back in the nest, and he did the mitzvah. Putting it back to the nest is a chatchila according to everyone. There are no poskim who disagree with that. It's pretty clear that in the Chidushei Hari Lunyel, on the Sechta Schulen, and it's pretty much not on the Kufnam Aleph Amin Aleph, Rashi pretty much says that you're allowed to put it back. It says, no, it's the same way. So you see that you're allowed to put the chicks, the offspring, back into the nest. I myself have been present with many Gedolim did the mitzvah, and I can tell you just quickly, you know, before I take Bachane's question, I can tell you how they did it. They put it in a stick, they banged it to the mother a full way, they picked up three tefachim, and they all put it back in the nest, they didn't eat it, they didn't do anything with it. Now, what bird does the mitzvah of Shluch HaKan apply to? The mitzvah applies to a kosher bird. Now, I'm going to just list pretty much some birds that we know are kosher, and then I'm going to discuss the status of birds that we don't know their kosher status. Birds that we have in the United States are pigeons. We have mourning doves in the United States. Those birds are kosher without a doubt. We have all throughout the United States house sparrows and tree sparrows. Those are kosher without a doubt. We have the same birds in Eretz Yisrael. Only difference is in Eretz Yisrael they are called palm doves and they're not called mourning doves. And they look exactly alike. There are some different, you know, black blotches on the back of the mourning dove, but they are definitely kosher birds. What happens if someone encounters, I'll give an example that's very common here in Lakewood, New Jersey. People encounter on the nest of a cardinal. The cardinal, I'm sure you know what it looks like. The male is actually very, very bright red, and the female is like an olive brown color. Can someone do the mitzvah on a bird that he's doubtful to its kosher status? The answer is equivocally, absolutely yes. One can do the mitzvah. And I'm going to discuss the sources who say that. The Shalom Tshuva, his Ayur Tshuva, which was written by Reb Shimon Sofer, He actually was the grandson of the Chassam Sofer, and he perished in Auschwitz. He was over 8 years old when the Nazis, Rahman al-Islam, killed him. In his Shalos and Shuvah, the Zarius Shuvah, Chelik Dalet, Simkov Knudin Hay, discusses this question, and he says, of course someone can go ahead and do the mitzvah, regards to its kashrus. Although a person cannot eat it, because you can't eat a bird unless it has a mitzvah's kashrus, as is brought down in Yoredei, Simon Tereis. Unless the bird has a mitzvah's kashrus, unless we know generation after generation that people were eating this particular bird, generation after generation after generation, if you don't know that, it is prohibited to eat that particular bird. However, in regards to Shulchan Khan, you don't have to eat it, you just chase it with your mother and pick up the eggs, you should do it. And also, very important to point out, that most birds that we do not have a Mitzvah Kashrus, they are kosher anyway. However, they are not kosher for eating purposes. The reason why they're kosher is because they are not a doris va'ochel. I do not want to go into that because I see my time is limited. But in order to disqualify a bird for being kosher, it has to be doris va'ochel. It has to be a bird of prey. Most birds throughout the United States are songbirds, and it's very infrequent that even that someone will encounter the nest of a bird of prey. They usually, build their nests very, very high up. And I highly doubt that anyone will be able to go ahead and even encounter one of them. But all common songbirds throughout the United States, the American robin, the cardinal, a person should definitely try and do the mitzvah of Shluch Kanaman, even though we don't know their kosher status. Amongst other poskim who say like this is so, Shuvah is redemption for Hirsch and say for Chor Perik Shluch Kanaman. Shishalch Shuvah's Minchas Bazar by the Munkash Rav. Says clearly in Chel Gimel Simon Mem Gimel. Also says clearly a person should definitely go ahead and do the mitzvah. I heard it from a number of contemporary poskim as well, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, with Nissim Karelis, Rav Yehuda Shapel, from Bnei Brak in Israel. All of them clearly, if a person is not sure, he definitely should go ahead and do the mitzvah. We do have some birds in Eretz Yisrael also where they have a questionable kashrus. And again, a person should go ahead and do the mitzvah. I just want to have a practical explanation as to what one does when he goes to a nest and he finds eggs in the nest. When did you finish this point? Okay. I want to give that explanation as what one is meant to do. Most birds throughout America will, besides the songbirds, the most common bird, where one can do the mitzvah of Shluch Kanaan is a pigeon and a mourning dove throughout the United States. The clutch of these species usually contain 2 eggs. Day number one, it lays 1 egg. Day number two, it lays its second egg. It's interesting to point out that on Elazar State, this is also quoted in one of the Midrashim in Shir HaShirim, that one of the eggs is a male bird. One of them ends up turning into a female bird, and they actually marry the male and the female bird, and they end up raising a family of their own. Every clutch of those eggs, the male and female end up marrying, and they form a family. What happens if someone comes to a nest? He finds a nest, he finds a mourning dove nest in his backyard, and he chases away the mother, and he wants to, do, as we said, according to the Chazon Ish, who requires one to pick up the eggs or chicks, and he sees 2 eggs over there. What should he do? So, a practical idea, what I heard, from one of 2 eggs. Now, what he would gain by doing this is he chases away the mother, he picks up 1 egg. The other egg he should leave untouched. This way, when the bird returns to the nest, it should return within 5 minutes. By morning, it takes approximately about 20 minutes till one of the bird comes back to the nest. After, the bird comes back to the nest, he goes and picks up the next person. He invites either, a family member or someone else, chases away the mother, and picks up both eggs. Therefore, he picked up an egg which was always untouched. Was never touched anyway, and therefore the second person has the mitzvah. This is a way that 2 people can fulfill the mitzvah on one nest. Common songbirds around the United States, like the American robin, the average clutch is usually about 4 to 6 eggs. Therefore, you can take 4 to 6 people over there and chase away the mother. Each person just picks up 1 egg, puts it back in that nest, and you have 4 to 6 people going ahead, and they do the mitzvah. I'd like to also discuss about Hefker. Is one allowed to be master masker the contents of the MS after he has fulfilled the mitzvah. Remember Ray Kornfeld told me when he was once in Eretz Yisrael, he had a question. I believe he was in a hospital then with someone, and they found a bridge nest over there. And, you know, I remember discussing with you a number of years ago, is it permitted to do or not? No. We have on the question, the Birkei Yosef brings down this question. He says, suppose someone has a nest in his house and he acquired it. Let's say he picked up all the eggs and the chicks. Can he go ahead and be masker the eggs and the chicks or not? Can he go ahead and pick up the eggs or chicks or not? So, Chaim Kanievsky, okay, I just started with the Birkei Yosef before, so these notes coming in. So, the Birkei Yosef said, absolutely not. Since it has a shame mezumen on it, since it is acquired by a person, he go ahead, put it back in the nest, and he masker it. No way. He doesn't go. Since it was mezumen already, it was prepared for the person, and the Torah says ki yikare, and the Gemara learns that ki yikare means problem mezumen. Therefore, a person definitely cannot go ahead and do the mitzvah. This is quoted by the Melech Shlomo on the side of the Mishnayos, who says, once you picked up the eggs and chicks, you cannot put them back in the nest and do the mitzvah again. However, many contemporary poskim, amongst them Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Nissim Karels, they are all of their opinion. They disagree on the sheet of the Birkei Yosef, and they hold, if a person went ahead, he picked up the eggs, he can put them back to the nest, he can put them back in the nest, he masked them, he can definitely do the mitzvah again and again and again. That's what they hold. The Rav Moshe Feinstein bases it on the fact that he does as follows. The whole issue is, as the Gemara says, this is key curry, and the Gemara knows that problem is open. If I'm going ahead and I'm being masked, it's not a mizumen anymore. Therefore, it is permitted to do this, and he can do this time and time and time again. Rav Chaim Kanievsky also told it to me a number of times. I know Rav himself has done it a number of times. He's been masked it, and, you know, he's done it, you know, a bunch of times. Therefore, you know, you definitely have who to be simich on to, you know, after you pick them up, you put them back in the nest, you master it, you can do it again and again and again. I know that the Steibler, as I heard from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, did it a number of times, the mitzvah, and every time he did it, you know, as follows. He chased away the mother, he picked up the eggs, put them back in the nest, he took 50 people, and he said, I would like to declare these eggs ownerless. Okay, we'll have to wrap things up soon, I'm afraid. Okay, I'm going to have to get to you all the time. Do you want me to take any questions now, or do you want me to stop? All right, okay, I got a question. I don't understand the purpose behind the mitzvah, and I did discuss it earlier. I discussed one of the reasons. I did send to Rabbi Kornfeld an email with another 7 reasons, and he may post it on his website. I discussed the Zohar earlier. I can discuss another mitzvah, another purpose for the mitzvah, which I didn't discuss earlier, and I hope that suffice for you. Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer and the Maritz and some Sofer give the following explanation to the mitzvah. They say that a person is not allowed to take advantage of a bird that's showing its motherly instinct, which means it's very hard. If someone walks on the street, go ahead and try to catch a bird. The second you approach, you know, you go next to the bird is going to just take off and fly away. However, that's not true. We can't go now. We're already discussed. We're almost finished. Okay. Yes. Any other questions?
I'm sorry, Rav Naftali. I didn't mean that for you. If you're in the middle of saying a new reason, you can finish that. Go ahead.
So they say the following thing. If someone is walking in the street and they see a bird, most times you can't get close. As soon as you get too close to them, they'll fly off. And you won't be able to catch them. That's not true when you go next to them. You can get very, very close to the mother bird and it won't fly away. What's the reason why the mother bird doesn't fly away? The reason why it doesn't fly away is because it's hovering on top of its children, it's protecting its children, and its motherly instinct doesn't want it to abandon its children. Now, every animal, you know, we do not, vegetarians aren't really that exotic. Throughout the world, and the Jewish way of viewing a vegetarian is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put down the animals on the world that a person can benefit from these animals. The reason why they're here is just to benefit them. So if a person wants to go ahead and everyone eats eggs every day, you know, the eggs also come from, you know, the mother lays an egg, and, you know, we take an egg also. So we're a lot of benefits from every type of animal, every creature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put down in the world. However, the way these Achronim explain the Mitzvah of Chakan, we're not at advantage of a mother bird that's using its motherly instinct to protect on its offspring. Usually, Sarut, that's not true, because if you handle the eggs, they will, even if you touch them a number of times, the mother bird will come back. Usually, if you don't go next to the mother bird, in a sense, it'll fly away. But however, when it's standing over there and it's hovering on top of its offspring, it's not flying away for one reason, because it's protecting its offspring. And it's showing a motherly love to its offspring. The Torah doesn't permit one to take advantage of the mother in such a circumstance, grabbing the mother and then using the mother, and let's say slaughtering the mother, and the only way you're able to catch the mother is because she was, you know, hovering on top of its chicks. Had the mother been flying around in the street and once set up a net to catch the mother, that's permissible. But to take advantage of the mother because she was hovering on top of its chicks and doing a service for the world by bringing more birds and more animals and more creatures to the world, it is prohibited to take advantage from the mother in such a case. And so you're stealing them. I don't think it's stealing them. It depends where you take them from. The mitzvah shulchan is only in a place that is hefker, a place that is ownerless, a place that doesn't have owner. It's not applied in one's private domain, unless a person has in mind before the mother actually laid the eggs that he does not want to go ahead and acquire the eggs or chicks that will be there in his property. And it's very important to find out to put out of the I was running out of time, but this is very, very important. According to a lot of contemporary poskim, amongst them Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Nissim Karelis, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Igros Moshe also writes this, since in today's day and age, most people are not interested in acquiring eggs or chicks that go into one's domain, even if a person didn't have in mind before they laid the eggs in his possession, I don't want to go ahead and become it, he still can fulfill the mitzvah. Since there's something that we would imagine that a person does not want to acquire them, therefore even if it's in one's private domain, he can still do the mitzvah, even if he wasn't mafkaret beforehand. That's what a number of posts can say, amongst them Rav Moshe Feinstein in Yoredeya Chelik Dalat Siman Memhei.